Somebody asked me if I was nervous. I said, today I am for some reason.
You want me to stand here the whole time? Or
yeah, that'll help us. That'll help me. That'll make me more comfortable. Beats looking at you. Sorry. Sorry. Didn't bring any tomatoes, did you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your salvation, for bringing us all to you through the cross and the power of the resurrection, Lord. We just thank you. Lord, just help us to speak of the things that you've done, Lord. This is all about you and your work. And so just help us to point to you, to glorify you, to spur each other on to good works, Lord. And I just thank you for the opportunity to share, and may it be an honor to you. Thank you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in Psalms 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring your righteousness. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and patiently wait for him. Something the Lord had used in my life over the years here in Proverbs 16 is another place he's used to encourage me in this work, because when he told me to start this, it was just kind of a, I'll go through that here, because as I prepared for this, he was just reminding me of all the things, all the steps, every part of our life is something that he can use or has used or will use either to direct us or to minister to somebody along the way. And so in Proverbs 16, because I don't know, I guess when he started speaking to me about starting here my ministries, I was working with Safe Water International Ministries and going and sharing with people how to make chlorine and how to treat their water and have safe water to drink, good, safe drinking water. And so I was doing that, and one time I went to Sudan in 2010, and it was a trip both good and bad. It had its challenges, and it was a great trip, one of my favorite trips of all time, but it was it had its challenges. We got robbed of $4,000, and we were kind of stuck in Sudan trying to get back into Uganda to get home. And we scraped together everything we had to get out of Uganda, or out of Sudan and back to Uganda. And we were able to scrape enough to get a plane ticket to fly from Juba down to Entebbe, and we got to the airport, and as I'm going through the line, this guard there, this army guy, he says, you need $35. I said, what for? He said, because you didn't register with the government. I said, well, I did. They stamped my passport. Here I am. You know, no, you had to register. If you're going to be more than 3 days in the country, you have to register. It's like, well, my wallet is empty, you know. I got scraped everything there was left, the $35 left in my wallet. And he says, I can't take that dollar because it's not new enough. They're really fussy about the American dollars they take. He says, it's too old. And he said, you can't go. And I said, well, I'm going. And you have to take this because this is all that's left. We're not going to eat, you know, for the next 4 days. We're waiting to get out of here. And so I end up just walking away and heading toward the airplane, and he kept the money, so that was that. Luckily, he didn't come after me. But so he was telling me, we got to Uganda, and we still had 2.5 days to wait before we could leave the country for our plane ticket. And I sat in an apartment for those 3 days with a bunch of Ugandans, and me being the only one that spoke English, except for the man that I traveled with from Bellevue. And he was Sudanese. And so he had friends there, and they were all in one room and carrying on and having a good time. And I sat there for 3 days with nothing but my Bible, which is good. So I just sat there and I read and I went, prayed a lot. And the Lord started speaking to me to start here in my ministries. And it's like, well, I don't know how to do that. And all of the, I had a lot of arguments, like Moses, you know, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I don't know how, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, in the long run, I ended up talking to a bunch of people and asking questions. How do you do this? And what do you do? And you got to file with the government and all this stuff. And Obama was in charge of then, and he was against the church and putting a hold on 501s and all of that. And everybody says, you're going to have a hard time doing this. It took us 18 months. We file the paperwork. They send it back. Ask more questions. We send it in and ask more questions. They send it back. It takes 18 months or so before you ever get. I said, well, okay. I filled out the paperwork. I sent it in. And within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I had the answer back that says, here, you're a ministry. We've approved you as a ministry. So God knows how to overcome all our fears and all our doubts and all of that stuff. And in our weakness, he is strong. So Psalms 37 was something that he gave me. Then I will give you the desires of your heart. Do not fear. And so in filing that status and in trying to get that done and me doubting and trying to talk myself out of it, God just said, do it. I've put this in your heart to do, so do it. So that's Psalms 37. And then and as we go through this, and as I, this ongoing ministry, and he's taken us where he's got us now in Uganda, and the school and everything going on, it's, there's always, I didn't make a long-term plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just kind of going along. And as the Lord leads, we do the next step. And as he reveals the next step, then we do the next step. And so Proverbs 16, chapter 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So God just said, you prepare and let me lead. I'll give you answers and direct you in the way. And then in verse 3, he said, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And then in verse 9, he says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So the Lord made that clear to me. You prepare the heart. I'm going to give you answers. And there's times I've come to church and I've had questions, and JD's up here speaking, and something he says, the Lord just speaks to my heart and says, that's your answer right there. And he's never aware of it. JD isn't. He doesn't know what I'm thinking when I come in. And the Lord just speaks, and he gives you the answer, and he speaks to your heart. And then he says, commit the work to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So, okay, I'm serving you. This is all for you, all about you. So he just he gives you these thoughts. It goes from the head to the heart. It becomes a thing of the heart, desire of the heart, and he establishes your thoughts and how to make the next step. And he continues to do that. And in verse 9, he says, you plan the way, but I will direct your steps. And so as I've gone through all these years of ministry and different areas, and the Lord's introduced us to all these, take all the steps. He had me looking back at all the steps this week as I was preparing about this and praying about this. And he's just taken us one step at a time. Each step, somebody here introduced, he's used for that for a season, and then you go on to the next step. And it's just, God gave me those verses to encourage me and to get me started and to keep me going, I guess, is what I want to say. But it's been a, I still need your finger. Huh? Okay. So Hear My Ministries. That started in 2010, and 2012 it became a reality. In April of 2012, we got the answer, and it began. And so next, and I want to kind of lay out, so it ties all in with the scripture. In 2017, I was invited. This group is from West Virginia, and got acquainted with them through SWIM, and the man right on my right shoulder there, Danny Cunningham, he was a pastor, and he started a ministry in Western Uganda, kind of doing the same thing as a school, and one of those people on that trip is Tony Inman, who was with them on that trip, and they invited me along to do the water thing and to help with the teaching that they were doing at the time, and so this is just steps in the path to where he's taking us now. So go ahead. On the left is Tony, and on the right is Kyle Jones. And these two men accompanied me this trip in January and February to Uganda. So next, Tony was one in that trip in 2017, and that's how I met him. And then in 2018, Josh and I, Mullins, from here, we went, was planning a trip. And in the preparation for that trip, the Lord put on my heart to do a teaching, somehow get through the Bible in a week or 2 weeks' time, to do it through the Bible teaching in 2 weeks. And I started talking to Josh about it at that time. We need to do this. I just feel like the Lord wants us to do this. We need to connect the Bible. There's not a lot of Bible teaching, not a lot of solid teaching that goes on in Africa. There's a few, but not a lot. And so God's got us out in a rural area, and we're trying to train pastors in a better understanding of the Word and get them to teach the Word and get away from the emotionalism and all the dancing and all of that. Dancing's okay, but you got to have the Word that be taught, you know? There got to be some teaching to go with it. So I started talking to Josh in 2018. This is a year after I met Tony. And so then the next slide is, so in 2020, the Lord gave us 5 acres of property there in Uganda. He actually brought the seller to us, and I was staying in the house of Jackson, our pastor there in the church at the time. And the seller came and said, Jackson, this man needs to sell this property. He's got cancer. He's sick, and he wants you to have it. And so we prayed about it, said, okay. We don't have any money. And the guy came back and said, that's okay. He'll give you 6 months to pay for it. And so this was February 2020. We said, okay, we'll do that. And the Lord gave us some money. We paid for the land. And September 2020, we put the building on the right as a church. And so we put up that structure in 2020. And then 2022, we went back, and the building on the left is a school. The 5-classroom was... In the beginning, was intended to be a children's ministry building for the church, and it is. Then God made it clear that it was supposed to open this school, and so it became a school. So, next. So back to Tony. I met in 2017, and then I hadn't talked to him for several years, four years or something. I hadn't even communicated with him. And last year, in 2023, when I'm coming back from Uganda, back to here on the, again, it was really heavy on my heart and mind to do the through the Bible teaching. We need to get this established so these people understand. People aren't encouraged to read, so we give out Bibles. We tell them to read for themselves, not to take somebody's word for it, but to be Bereans and search the Word of God daily, you know, to see if what we say is right. Don't take our word for it. And so when I was coming home, that was heavy on my heart. And so when you're traveling for 30 hours between there and here by the time you get back. So I was really praying on the plane and searching. And the Lord says, contact Tony Inman. And I said, well, I haven't even talked to him in 5-6 years. You know, he probably doesn't even remember me. He said, the Lord kept saying, talk to Tony. So I sent Tony an email when I got home. Since I got home, I sent Tony an email. Said, this is what's on my heart, what I want to do. In my prayers, the Lord told me to contact you. is this something you'd be interested in, and would you want to go and help teach? And Tony replied within the hour and said, I don't have to pray about it. I've already been on my heart to do something like this, and I've already kind of started putting together, and I've been really thinking about wanting to get back to Uganda already. So the Lord had already been working on his heart and in his life before he told me to contact him. And so the Lord works on both ends. And so Tony wrote, put together a script kind of thing that that we could get through just to connect Genesis to Revelation. God's grace is there throughout, you know, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, God's grace is evident. And Jesus said, the scriptures testify of me. The volume of the book is written of me. And so that was our goal, just to make the connection, New Testament, Old Testament. And so Tony made up a teaching plan, and we kind of put it together and went through it. And so our first week in Uganda, okay, we began teaching. We went there and we held a conference at our church there in Uganda and started teaching through the Bible, connecting God's grace, Genesis to Revelation. And these Tony and Kyle went and along, and they taught, and we took sessions. We had different sessions, and we went from about 10 o'clock to 4:30 every day trying to teach, and we provided lunch and just made the connections, and you could just feel God's presence there, confirming that all these things that had taken place, and this was, that he set this up. He gave me the desire of the heart to do this. He spoke to Tony, gave him the ability to put the teaching plan together, and brought us all together. And the thing is, when we were there, they said, well, how long have you known Tony? And I said, well, I've known him since 2017. But they said, well, how often do you get together? And I said, well, we never get together. They said, well, how far from your house to his house? Well, it's probably 18 hours for me to drive from my house to his house. I've never met Tony on American soil. I only know Tony in Uganda. And so God's plan, and he brings people together, and he directs our steps, and he establishes our thoughts, and he does these things. And so there was 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week that we were teaching, that you could just feel the Holy Spirit was there and moving, and it was just a great experience, I guess. Presence of the Lord there. People came from all over Kenya, Western Uganda, Congo. There was people from all, I don't know how they all knew about it, but they all found out about it, and people came from everywhere. And the Lord just brought people. And we've been requested to go and do, you need to come here and do this. And so we got people wanting us to go to Congo and Rwanda and Tanzania and everywhere. And it's just a basic teaching, you know. Jesus is in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, he's in the New Testament. And so, but it's God's plan, and it's what we did, and God blessed it. And we had a full house in the church there, people from all over. And so next, you can just see, the pastors in the front row are all from Kenya. They had traveled 5 hours to get there by bus, and so this is a group from Kenya, from Kitale, Kenya, and they were just excited. Of course, they're still trying to get me to come there and do that. So, next. We also carried the medical supplies. It was hard to come by there, and money. They don't have great income, very little income. So, we carried medical supplies. Kyle's church in Mississippi, they collected medical supplies. We took them with us. And then this is with Morris O'Kearing from Kenya. He's standing there beside me. And then the man with Kyle is Omototo Crispin, and he's also one of Morris's pastors, and so works with Morris. And so we were able to send medical supplies back. Of course, I don't know if you know about Rael, Morris's wife. She's going through something for the last 15 years with her hip. So they need medical supplies. Anyway, it's a blessing to them. These guys spent the first 10 days there, and then they had to come back, so we sent them home to the United States. And then for me, I continued to stay and went over into Uganda, or into Kenya, to Morris's place. Spent 3 weeks there with him. We had two churches that we went to do the teachings. We went up north. Next slide. We went up to North Teso, did the same teachings. This time I'm by myself. I don't have two other guys to help me. So I was there teaching and trying to get through this plan by myself in 5 days. And the first day when we started was on a Tuesday. Tuesday's supposed to be 10 o'clock in the morning, and we get there and there's one person there, and that's the pastor of the church. And that always happens in Kenya. You get there, they wait for you to show up, and then they get on the phone and start calling. Okay, they're here. Now you can come. And the people start cleaning up and then coming, and then so you sit there for a couple hours waiting for people to show up. But it happens a lot in Kenya and Uganda. So we taught through, did the same teaching at the church in North Teso, and then the next week we went down to Morris's house and we stayed there and we taught at his church the same teaching that week at his place. God's grace through the scriptures. And we had a decent crowd there also, and it was well received everywhere we went. In North Teso, after the teaching, the week after, I got a call and they said 9 people came to the Lord after the teaching. Nobody has heard how Jesus and God's grace is connected from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Nobody's heard that before, and everybody is just wanting to hear more. And so, of course, they always want us to come back, but and when they appreciate you, they show it. And so you get to take dinner home with you. That's KFC to go there. So next. So now we have the school. So after I left Kenya and back to Uganda, then the school was starting up. It started the 1st of February, end of January. And so school started up, and this year we have 396 students, which is, and we have 23 employees, teachers, janitors, cooks, different people, office staff. And so this is on our property. We need more desks. All the time we need more desks. They take a room half this size, and they put a third of this size, and they put 80 kids in there, you know. And they're not afraid to do that. That a little crowded for us, but they do it all the time. So this is the preschool class. Actually, it's only half the preschool class. There's another group this same size. They meet in the church because we don't have a place for them. They have to have a floor to be on, or otherwise we're going to have a mess. And so we continue with the school. This is our kitchen area. Praying for more so we can do a real kitchen. The cooks work hard. I'm always impressed with them. Every time I go, the cooks work so hard. They're cooking on firewood. They're cooking for 300 students. Big pot and stirring and cleaning up and serving. I mean, they cook it. They're the first ones there, you know. They got to start the fire early, get started early, and get things ready, but serve a breakfast at 10 o'clock, and then at noon or 1 o'clock, they serve a lunch. They got a lot to do. This is one of our temporary classrooms we've put up with kids in it. This year, we have clear up to 7th. We started only with up to 4th grade, preschool to grade 4, and now we're up to clear to grade 7. Which would be all their primary classes. Things we're praying for is the teachers, we don't have books. Students don't have books. They wouldn't take care of them anyway until we get a little farther along in this process. So one thing we're praying for is we don't have power at the school, so we want to put in solar power, put solar panels and some batteries. We want to get couple of laptops couple of printers where they can print off their lessons instead of having to write out everything on the board. The teacher spends 20 minutes at the beginning of class writing things out on the board so the students can read it to see their lesson for the day. So one of our prayer things is that we will you know, in time, get the solar installation, get the computers as the Lord provides and all that stuff, and continue to improve and bring it along. And so this is the teacher's lounge under the shade tree, the only tree on the property. And so, and we still do the water chlorine thing, the thing the Lord used to take me to Africa in the first place. And we still do that. And so the need is great there. You could spend every day for the next 10 years doing chlorine training throughout Africa and other places. You know, only 20% of the world has safe drinking water, and 80% of the world doesn't have safe drinking water. And 80% of the world's money is controlled by 20% of the population that has the safe drinking water. We're not very good at sharing. We might think we are, but we're not really good at sharing. So there's different water sources. This one is beside the road. There was a spring coming up, and these people, we had been down to the shores of Lake Victoria, and we'd done chlorine teaching that day at a school and at a church. We went to a school in the morning, taught the school how to make chlorine, and then we went to, there was probably 600 students at that school, and so we taught them. This was a high school level, secondary school. And then we went to a church and taught them chlorine training. And then driving home, we come by this place, and there's a that spring that's right beside the road, and they'd put some wood over it and some rocks where they could draw their water out and carry it home. But they told us that the spring dries up when it's not raining in the summer, or in the dry season, it'll dry up, and then they have to go get water out of the lake, out of Lake Victoria, which the shoreline is not the place to get drinking water. So a lot of sickness. This is the new version of the chlorine producing unit, CPU. They can make 20 liters of chlorine at a time. So when we go to that school, there's 600 students. You can make a large quantity of chlorine in one sitting, and then everybody can take water or chlorine home with them to use in their water. So that's what we've been doing, and part of what we do. So this is Rael. If everyone knows, the wife of Morris O'Carrick, she's had a broken hip for the last 15 years. And so we paid once to have it. She got a hip rebuilt one time, and it lasted about 11 months. And then it, poor quality materials, I guess, the cement stuff in there, and it fell apart. She began having pain. She continued walking. And what they did, they stuck the iron rod in her leg, you know, and then they built the sock, the ball on the end of it with cement, and that cement all cracked and fell apart. And she continued walking on that iron rod in her hip socket. And then eventually, in a few months, that thing, it came out the side of her leg. It bent and came out the side of her leg. And the doctor that did it wouldn't help us. He refused. He quit answering the phone. He wouldn't even take her in and get that out of her or anything. And so we've had a time trying to find someone else. And here recently, the Lord has introduced us to another doctor. They went in and they began, but she did so much damage by walking on that steel rod and continuing to walk for years without, in the x-rays, the ball on the end of her femur is completely gone. It's not even visible in that. So her femur is 2-3 inches short of what it should be, because she's been walking on that for all those years. So one thing that our prayers is to continue to be able to help her. Lord has introduced us to a doctor through some of those connections he makes. You meet this person, and that person meets that person, and pretty soon he brings you all together. And so the Lord has brought a doctor in that cares. He acts like he cares. Most of the doctors in Kenya are government employees. And so the care is not always real quality. This guy acts like he cares. And he's actually come to the house and visited her and examined her at the house before he took her in to do surgery. So they've removed some stuff recently. That was in March. First part of March. And so they went in and removed some stuff. She's been fighting infection for years. She's supposed to be seeing Monday. She's supposed to be going to another doctor, a specialist, and get if everything works out on their end. It's hard for her to travel. Roads are rough. Getting to her place is actually, first time I went in there, it was a cow path getting to her place. And we rode on motorcycles, and the bushes were slapping you in the face on both sides as you went into their place. But it's been made a little wider, but it's still, we have, JD's pasture is probably better than the road getting to their place, but. Travel's hard for her. It's painful. Travel's become expensive there. And so we continue praying and helping with what the Lord puts on us to help her with. And then keep praying that they can continue to get the treatment and she'll be healed. And so that's another one of her prayers. Next is, this is a house plan I've drawn up. It's a guest house for all of you that are, the Lord is telling to go to Africa and spend a couple of weeks, and so we need a couple of work teams to go and put this house up. And so people want to come. I think everybody should go at least once and see, experience what's there, see what they're going through. So I've been on a lot of trips, and several of the times has been through denominations and things, and sometimes you're just locked away in a compound and you're not really meeting people and interacting with people. And so I bought a lot in the village, and so this house will be in the village, and so you got to stay in the village and you got to meet the people and you got to interact with them, you got to eat with them, you got to, you know, Jesus sent the people out, and he sent them out, the 70, he said, don't take any money with you, you go, you eat what's set before you, you sleep where you're welcome, and if you're not welcome, you shake the dust off and leave. So that's our philosophy. We go, and I usually stay in homes of the people, and so with Jackson and Morris's home I stayed in, and so they take care of you. They take great care of you. In fact, almost too much, you know. You're going, I can do this for myself. Thanks. But no, it's time for you to go bathe. Okay. Must be bad. But anyway, so you got to be in the village. You got to meet the people. That's where, you know, be a part of it. And I just think everyone has something they can contribute, whether you go to teach. I don't know what your skill is or what God's given you, but you can go and teach somebody there what you know, how to do what you do, give them a skill, an opportunity to have an income, to develop an income, and give them the opportunity to teach other people there. You go, you spend a couple weeks, you teach somebody, or a month, and you teach somebody whatever you know, farming, welding, whatever it is, teaching, just whatever. You teach someone there and give them the opportunity to have an income for themselves and be able to teach someone else. And so everyone should go. The school is going well, has its challenges. Of course, you got 400 students in a 5-room school. It always has challenges. And 20 teachers and should have 40 teachers or 30, actually. So, but we keep praying, Lord, give us the ones he wants, the ones he calls to get involved and be a part of it. So and the Lord continues to provide each month whatever we need. When we have a need, he just gives us his own ways. He has his ways and stirs hearts to give, and so he keeps providing. Anyway, it's great to go there and to be a part of it and to experience it. The school is changing lives. People are being affected. A lot of these children would not be going to school if God hadn't started this work. And it's 2 days a week we have chapel class for 2 hours in the school. And so they're also learning Bible and Bible stories. And on Saturdays, when we have funds available, we have lots of VBS every Saturday that we can. We teach them Bible stories, teach them the Word, share with them, play with them, have fellowship. And the Lord is using that to change not only those kids' lives, but they're going home and they're telling their parents and they're telling their grandparents and they're changing lives, changing homes, changing the home life. So God is using it. We have students that have that are orphans. One group is, his name was Tony, and he has three siblings. They live with a grandmother on a small plot, so she doesn't have like a farm or anything, or she can grow a lot of food and sell. She just has a little bit. And so we allow students to come. So my goal from the beginning on my heart was to, if people give enough, we can pay the teachers. I don't want to just use kids to stir up sponsors. I just want people giving that the Lord calls to give. And if we can keep the teachers and we get people to sponsor the teachers, then we can minister to those 400 students. If I'm looking for sponsors for children, I got to find 400 sponsors. If I'm looking for sponsors for teachers, I got to find 20 sponsors. A salary for a teacher is $100 a year, you know, $100 a month, or a little over. Now we've given them a raise, and so $100 a month for a teacher salary, $1,200 a year. That's very minimal. And in time, as the Lord provides, we hope to increase that. But it's also contributed to economic development in this community. Teachers have bought property there. They're building houses. They're moving into the community. It's spurred other growth and building projects in the community. And so we just thank the Lord for what he's doing. I thank him for the opportunity to let me be a part of it. And all you who pray, your prayers are deeply coveted, so to keep us going. So if anybody's interested in going and checking it out, and let me know. And so you can see me afterwards and talk to me at the potluck today that we're having, JD. So anyway, God's working. God's doing things. I get frustrated sometimes because you don't see anything happen. I'm sure JD goes through the same things, but then God shows you something. Look, it's not all for nothing. It is working. You know, I don't see the lives of those kids every day. I don't know what's going on. They're going home and telling mom and dad, we need to pray, mom. They're teaching us at school. There's a God that we can pray to. And so a lot of the kids are Muslim. Anyway, back to the grandma with the no ground and those four kids. She was in another, I don't know where she lived. She lived in another area before. And her husband died. And then her son and his wife were taking care of her, helping the father of the four children that live with her now. And then his wife died. And then he died. And so that community and that family chased him off. Said, "Get out of here! The witch has bewitched you, and we don't want you, and we don't want to give your kids the inheritance of the land." And they chased him out of town, and they ended up in our village. And so they have no income. They have no one to care for them. They have no family. Their family has cut them off, and so she has no communication with anyone. And so, you know, we allow those kids to come. And provide them what they need and provide them their meal each day because they can't pay for them. The oldest one was 13 years old. He was skipping school to go help work for people so he could get money to buy food at the house. And so we said, stay in school. We'll help feed you. We'll take care of you. You can eat at school. And, you know, your grandmother can continue to plant her garden and have food at home. So things like that. There's another family, a Muslim family, who was five kids, I think. He went to prison for a crime he didn't commit, supposedly, which I believe him after talking to him. But he was in prison. The wife took off and left with another man and skipped the country and just left the kids at the house. And so these kids were there, nothing, you know, trying to provide for themselves, their kids, you know, and take care of themselves. And we said, neighbors kind of started helping take care of them and giving them meals and some food and stuff. And we said, come to school, get an education, we'll take care of you. So those are some of the things we do. So that man recently was released from prison while I was there. We went and visited him. He's a Muslim, but we talked to him. We spent some time with at the house with him and the kids and the neighbors, and we all prayed together, and he thanked us, and his kids are still going to school, still learning about Jesus. So God makes an impact through little things we do, everything we do. So as God provides, we continue to serve him this way, what he's given us to do. And I'm thankful for everyone he's brought along to support, to give, and to be a part of in prayer and in finances and all of that. You're all a part of it. And so I just thank you, each one of you. I thank the Lord for each one of you. And continue to pray for us that we will continue to be a light in a dark place. Well, I'm out of time, but witch doctor just came to mind. There's witch doctors in this. There's about five witch doctors in this community, and one witch doctor is neighbor to Pastor Jackson, and he had six wives. And when we started this project, when the Lord had to start this, he was totally against us. He was trying to put curses on us, and he was offering his sacrifices and front of his totem pole and trying to curse us, and he was mean. And two of his kids, one of his wives started coming to church and got saved, and a couple of his kids started coming to church, and then a couple of them started going to school, and then he continued to be an irritation and mean. And then on this trip, he's waving. And he came and said, I need to put, he's got 10 or 11 kids. He says, I need all of my kids in your school. I said, well, bring them on. And so now there's, I think, three of his wives go to church there, came to the Lord. And he has torn down his totem pole and given up his witch doctor business and started other businesses for an income. He's become friendly. He talks to us. He goes to Jackson for advice and counsel. And so the Lord is drawing him in. That's how sometimes I like to, you know, we're in a microwave world here on this side of the planet. And so we always want to see things happen, but God is working in process, doing things. And we're thankful. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share about what you're doing. Thank you for calling us, Lord, letting us be a part of your work. Help us to continue, Lord, to be the light that you've called us to be, to let your love shine through us and to work through us. Father, pray that you will continue to provide for this ministry and the school that you've started there, and for all the other things that you want us to do. We pray for Rael, who's supposed to travel to the doctor in just a few hours. And so we pray for her. We pray for you would take her pain, you would help her, you would give the doctors wisdom, you would provide the funding needed and all the things, Lord, that are needed there. She continues, Lord, to smile, and she continues to talk to people about you and to do ministry, even in her pain and hardship. We thank you for her. We know you said in your word, all things work together for good for those that love you and who are called. And so, Lord, we just lift her up to you, and we lift the whole ministry up to you, and we lift this ministry up to you, Calvary Chapel and JD and all the things that go on here, Lord. We thank you for Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. As we go, may we just walk in your love and share with those that we encounter each step of the way, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.